Maryland Morning Theater critic J. Wynn Russick has been to see War Horse, now up at the Hippodrome. She brings us this review.
At the curtain call for War Horse, six actors share the first bow. Six actors most theatergoers barely notice during the 2.5-hour drama. But without these six, War Horse would not be the extraordinary theatrical production it is, a production that won a slew of Tony Awards and several of their British equivalents, a production that has been seen by more than 2 million people worldwide. The six people at the start of the curtain call are puppeteers. They operate the principal pair of life-size horse puppets in the National Theatre of Great Britain's magnificent production, now at the Hippodrome. Two puppeteers are inside the body of each horse. A third stands beside the horse and operates the head. These puppets were designed and created by South Africa's Handspring Puppet Company. With their muscular skeletal frames handmade of bent cane, and their legs and ears and tails operated by everything from rods to bicycle brakes, they make this production one of the most extraordinary examples of stagecraft I have ever seen. War Horse is based on a 1982 young adult novel by Michael Morpurgo. It tells the story of a British farm boy named Albert Narracott, whose horse, Joey, is sold to the cavalry in World War I.
I, Albert Narracott, do solemnly swear that we shall be together again.
The novel is told entirely from the viewpoint of Joey the horse. In playwright Nick Stafford's stage adaptation, we don't know what the horse is thinking. He certainly never speaks, unlike the puppets in Lion King, for example. Yet from the time we meet him as a colt, Joey completely commands the stage. Actor Michael Wyatt Cox imbues Albert with immense yearning to be reunited with Joey. That yearning propels the story from a farm in Devon to the trenches of France in World War I. Nick Stafford's script is overloaded with subplots, and details get lost in some of the thicker accents, particularly the French accents. But the production's design elements outweigh any textual shortcomings. It is infused with poignant music by Adrian Sutton and John Tams, beginning with a version of a late 19th century hymn.
Only remembered for what we have done. Horses and men, plowshares and traces.
Ray Smith's set design is also ingenious, even without the turntable I saw when the play was done at London's National Theatre. A huge piece of torn paper still forms the backdrop of the set. It represents pages from the sketchbook of a British officer who makes Joey his personal mount. Throughout the play, the officer's drawings are projected on this paper. When war rages, blood spatters the page. There are occasional directorial flaws. Late in the second act, Joey is trapped in no man's land, with German forces in trenches on one side and British on the other. At the Hippodrome, these soldiers stand in front of the first row looking up at the stage. It's an interesting choice, but can't be seen by portions of the audience. War Horse tucks serious themes into a young adult story. Loyalty, the strong connection between humans and animals, and especially the terrible toll of war. The stylized imagery on stage conveys these themes more powerfully than the realistic effects in Steven Spielberg's 2011 movie. War Horse's arrival in Baltimore coincides with the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, as well as the 100th anniversary of the Hippodrome. The timing is ideal. And, even if the weather isn't, War Horse is well worth braving the elements. That's just good. No, make that remarkable horse sense.
Maryland Morning Theater critic J. Wynn Russick. War Horse continues at the Hippodrome until this Sunday, February 9th.